You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Troy Kingy with Bastard. We've got Troy on the line. Kia ora, Troy. How are you this morning?
I'm very good. Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, it's great to chat with you because we're talking about a fantastic TV series that you have made called Troy Kingy's Desert Hikoi. This is a pretty incredible journey that you've been on. If people haven't yet seen this, it's on TVNZ on demand. People can go watch it right now. But tell us a wee bit, Troy, what is this if people have not yet checked it out? Oh no, we might have just lost Troy. We got a hello and we've lost him. Unless his mic...
Are you there?
Yes.
Hello. That was my bad.
That's all
sorry.
Good.
the Desert Hikoi, basically, from start to finish, it's about me trying to overcome creative block. You know, you force yourself into a corner trying to do 10 albums, 10 years, 10 different genres, and... just want to get into a crazy environment. You want to see different things and be inspired by different things. So we end up going to Joshua Tree, which is means a lot to me as well because of Rancho de la Luna, where Songs for the Deaf, my favorite album of all time, was created. We got to work there, we got to meet people there. It's crazy, man. It was such an amazing experience.
It's such an enviable experience to watch for any music nerd, I think. Just like the kind of history steeped in that space and the kind of legendary people that you get to hang out with on this recording process. I feel like no better way to shake you out of a creative rut. I do love the extreme of going all the way to Joshua Tree to get yourself out of that headspace, though. Was it something that you were like, this is definitely the way, or how did the stars kind of align on this one, Troy?
Yeah, it wasn't actually my idea. It was Matt Smith, who I've been working with for a while now, his idea. I think I just always talk about Songs for the Deaf, I don't know, and we're about to do this deserty rock album, and it was his main idea to go over there, and I'm so glad that he gave us the idea, because yeah, we went over there with 3 half pie songs, and in the doco I say we come back with 13, but we actually come back with 17.
Wow.
Songs. So it was worth it.
Totally worth it. What is Joshua Tree like? Because it's quite a sort of singular place, and it's got a lot of you know, incredible mythology to it, not just music, you know, local contemporary music mythology, but it's a pretty special and sacred place as well for a lot of people. What was your experience of it as a kind of physical location?
Yeah, well, it's like 2.5 hours inland, straight inland from LA. And when you get there, before you even get there, you just see these mountainous mountains on the way there, on the main highway. And then you get there and there's just mountains everywhere, but they look like boulders stacked on top of each other. And then you start seeing just characters just down the road, walking down the road. We were actually going to name our album after one of them, this guy who looked like he was in his early 60s, probably spent a lot of time in Malibu or surfing, a lot of surfing, and he had like abs and stuff, but leathery looking tan skin, with a American flag shorts, just one of those characters, and there was a few of them. So spiritually, we got to meet a doctor from the Kawia tribe in Joshua Tree, who ended up taking us to a cave. And I don't want to talk too much about it, but all I can say is it changed my life.
Wow.
Put it that way.
That's pretty amazing. Did you kind of feel when you set out on this journey that it was going to be quite an experience like this, or were you kind of taken aback by maybe how profound it was, Troy? What was that like?
It was, yeah. Around the time I had a lot of projects on the go, and I've found out recently, you know, you got to just focus on one project at a time, otherwise you're spreading yourself too thin. So I didn't actually realize what was going on until we're in the middle of this desert, 45 degrees the whole time we're there, and realized how important it was for me. Like, it was so timely. I have been feeling stretched thin. I've been feeling, you know, I had this creative block, even though I'm creating a lot of stuff. The last few years I've been questioning a lot of it, you know, and I was trying to go back to the beginning when I first started on this journey, where things, when I was writing, it just flowed. And I think we kind of found that in the desert.
That's pretty special, because it is an incredibly ambitious thing, 10 albums and 10 genres in 10 years. And, you know, yeah. I think inevitable that at some point you were going to hit a road wobble or something.
Yeah.
But to be able to get back on that path is a pretty special thing as well. Did it kind of renew for you, I guess, the reason for why you wanted to set out on this journey in the first place? This whole 10 albums journey, I mean.
Yeah, it just reminded me, I suppose. Like, I think I go back to the song for the Deaf album. That was when I was first coming into the game. Well, not really. I was still a teenager, but that's what got me excited about music. And then it took 3 kids and 10 years later before I actually started going on the journey. But yeah, it just reminded me really of the magic of music. Mm. And and then just a bit of a kick up the ass, you know. I've only got two more after this. I'm like, all right, we've got enough juice to get to the end now.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's a pretty legendary album, that Queens of the Stone Age record, but you also meet a few other musical legends in there. Serge Tankian, that would have been a pretty cool conversation to have. What was it like meeting some of those, you know, international legends?
Oh, it was freaking crazy. Like, yeah, I had a massive System of a Down phase when I was at school. So to just sit there and talk to him, and he's very articulate, and I wish we could put the whole interview up because we talked about some really cool stuff. But it was amazing to meet him, and then the boys met Brant Bjork from Pious, and even Dave Catching, who actually named Queens of the Stone Age, who runs Rancho, was an amazing man. So definitely felt like we were in room with greats at times, so very inspiring, yeah.
Well, I can't wait to hear the music that's come out of this, Troy. It's a really excellent TV series. If anyone's not watched it yet, get into it. It's up on TVNZ on demand. You can watch it now. And it's a really, really special thing. Thanks for taking us on the journey with you, because it's totally enviable to hear about these stories. But it's great to get that little fly on the wall insight into it as well. But yeah, really looking forward to hearing the album proper, Troy. And excited for this new kind of renewed energy for this project.
I can't wait for you to hear it. It's I'm excited about it.
Hey, always a pleasure, Troy. Have a really lovely rest of your morning, and we'll see you soon.
Yeah, you too. Okay, bye-bye.
Ka kite, bye.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.